Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday, final hour for us. Brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day. Just a couple of minutes right now. I got some fresh Kirk Cousins audio straight from Flower Branch. Our very own Joe Patrick.
It sounded like Joe.
Asked him the question. Like
Joe. And we're about to have his troublemaking ass on next segment.
Yeah, as soon as he's done poking the bear.
You should have seen his little troll make himself last night. I was like,
with the United?
I can't believe you, Joe.
What did he do?
He's like, I think, didn't Julian Gressel play for the?
Uh-huh.
He was like, I standing ovation. Obviously, for Julian Gressel as he leaves, Atlanta's own Julian Gressel. Oh, and by the way, Messi's coming in for him. That's, like you, Joe.
So maybe it was for Messi?
Yeah. That's it. Just start some starts.
I like Julian Gressel when he played here. He was quite good.
He was quite good. Yeah. Now, but he ain't Atlanta's own.
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's been gone for a while now.
Yeah. Joe Patrick. Old trouble starts.
Oh, he's starting trouble.
Yeah, man.
Smoking Joe. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to him in about 15 minutes. Find out what he's learned up in Flowery Branch over the course of the last couple of days. Of course, being able to talk to Raheem Morris, being able to talk to Kirk Cousins today and the rest of the guys. Then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things up at 1:40.
We can go ahead because I want to get to this Kirk Cousins because it's pretty interesting.
All right. Well, let's do it. Without any further ado, let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow!
I was more referring to the fact that the rust and the red jersey factor. I think that what happened a little bit was the season, you know, Raheem was doing such a good job of stay away from the quarterback. He's got a red jersey. All camp, not just for me, but for all the quarterbacks. And so we got this kind of false sense of, oh, I got all this space, you know, this is nice. And I think in the game, they don't, you know, you're not getting that. And the telephone booth shrunk. And I think there was a little bit of a, you know, I've got to get to where the rust is off and I'm more comfortable being used to that environment since it has been since week 8 of last year. And so that's probably more what I was referring to.
And that was Kirk Cousins. And basically, what he was answering the question to is something a lot of people heard in the pregame of the Monday Night Football game, as far as
from Troy Aikman
saying he wasn't 100%, and he was answering why. But I love the reason I wanted to play that more than anything, because we kept saying, me and you more than anybody, was the rust part. And then he came out last week and said, no, it wasn't no rust. You remember that?
No,
it wasn't no rust.
I remember that.
And we kept saying, it looks like rust.
Kirk, rust is the good thing to say.
Yes.
That's what you want it to
be. That's
what
you
want
to say. But then he comes back and says rust. So
Now it's rust. I know. But you know what it is, though.
Yeah.
Like, if a guy is asked a question about something like that, they're going to say, no, that's not really what it is. It's this. Or, like, my favorite thing is, like, when coaches or players or whatever will lie about something basically for months. And then later after the season or if it, whatever, then they'll be like, yeah, that's really what it was. It's like, yeah, I know. We knew that. That's why we were asking you about it for 2 months.
Yeah.
And you guys were like, no, that's not really what the... Okay, whatever. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what it was.
Right.
Now, that's not true. It does matter. In a game-by-game basis, it doesn't. They lost to the Steelers because he was rusty, because he was washed, whatever, because of T.J. Watt. It doesn't really matter they lost that game. Season-long, it matters because he wanted to be rust.
Yes.
And it looked like it probably was because he looked better from week one to week two. But also... the offensive line protected him.
Yeah, it did.
Like, so maybe that helped the rust as well.
It did.
You know what I mean? Like, that'll make you feel a little bit less rusty with T.J. Watt not breathing down your neck.
Down your neck the whole time.
You're not giving T.J. Watt piggyback rides all game long. Because this is what he said. Troy Aikman, I talked to Kirk, and he said he's not 100%. But he feels 100% in the pocket.
Right.
Okay? I don't even really know what the difference is or what the point of that is.
And that was the point right there when everybody, before the game, oh, Kirk said he was 100% healthy. I was like, that's what I told you before. I was like, God almighty. That's not what he's talking about. He can play.
Right.
He's just not where he needs to be as far as the rust factor. He still can't move like he probably needs to already.
Right.
And that's not because the tendon is healed. It's all the other stuff, the muscles and the comfortability, whatever you want to call it,
that
he has to get with it.
Yeah, that's rust.
Yeah.
that's all just fancy words for rust.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
Which is good. I'm glad that it's rust. I'm glad it's not that they paid $100 million guaranteed to a guy who sucks now.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a real bummer.
Yes, that would have been bad.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been any fun.
But I tell you the crazy thing, and I understand the whole, you know, warning of Michael Penix and first round and all those. Look, have you watched these three dudes? They look like rookies.
They don't look good.
And Michael Penix would have looked just like him.
Yep.
He would have looked like
him. Except left-handed.
Because they struggle. I mean, talking about the whole thing, the C.J. Stroud is an outlier. Rarely does somebody. And remember, they started 0-2.
He lost to the Falcons.
He lost to the Falcons
last year.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And then
he figured it out.
So I'm not saying that these young quarterbacks can't figure it out because they're immensely talented. Mm-hmm. It's just you got to get caught up to the speed of the game. You got to catch, like, young quarterbacks have to catch up to the speed of
the game.
Definitely. Because it happens so fast. Hey, that window's over a split second.
Right.
And you got to let it loose. You got to let it loose. You got to throw where the receiver ain't for the receiver to get the ball. It's just that quick.
Yeah, and I mean, and you've been the best guy and probably the most physically talented guy on the field every game you've played up until this moment. And then now you're on the field and everyone's incredible. Everyone's the best athlete that anyone's ever seen, and they're all trying to get you, right? So I think Caleb Williams is going to be okay.
He's going to be okay, but
they've got to find a way to protect him.
I thought those tackles were going to be better this year because they played better at the end of the year. You thought they were going to be better.
I agree.
I still think he needs Keenan back, Andy, to give just a young vet, older veteran to get open for him, everything. But just like we talk about, just with this whole Kirk Cousins, it's across league wide. The offensive line play this year in the NFL is atrocious. It really, now I know the defenders are more bigger, faster, more athletic than they've ever been, but they don't hit enough no more. You know what I mean? They don't get their pads hot enough.
Yeah.
They don't. And so when you get in the game,
like get in the pool and cool those pads off.
You know what I'm saying? Just like, but see, I knew you going to do that. They said it was day oil, not water.
All right, sorry. That was like that was a totally inside joke just for the two of us. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. No, but that's exactly what you talk about every preseason or training camp of like, yeah, okay, I get it. You guys negotiated away so you don't have to do as much work, but those 2-a-days with pads on got people used to blocking and hitting and doing the dirty work that it takes to accomplish plays on a football field.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you come out here in September and it's like Matador stuff.
Yes.
I mean, it's great for the pass rushers. It's great for the pass rushers because they're getting to the quarterback at a very high rate.
Yes.
And the problem is quarterbacks are getting hurt.
They're getting hurt. And the thing about it is okay, T.J. Watt didn't play in preseason, a lot of preseason game and everything, right? But you know what he does? You know, Coach Tomlin and the defensive coordinator said, okay, you got to line him right there. And you see that guy that wears 18, by all means, you don't have to practice to do that. Go get him. You know, it's easier for defenders, you know what I mean, especially guys like him.
Yeah, the defense tends to be ahead of the offense and all, but it's worse than it's ever been.
It's worse because of that.
Exactly.
But you know what? But what do I always – I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to argue with you about preseason because it's not going to change.
Right. That's the thing is it can be as frustrating as just like anything we talk about in college football that might frustrate you or whatever, baseball. I mean, honestly, across the board in sports right now, there's just a lot of things that are different and they're different for reasons that are a bit frustrating, but they are what they are. So you can either stop watching sports or you can wrap your mind around it. And that's where you are right now with this in the NFL. The good news is the Falcons now have 120 minutes under their belt.
Yes.
And they looked better in the second 60 than they did in the first 60.
Absolutely.
And now they got the two-time defending Super Bowl champions coming to town for another 60 on Sunday night, and they better look better than they did last Sunday because this team will make you pay.
And that's the thing about it is this is a better defense they're playing.
Definitely.
They're playing a better defense in Kansas City than they did in Philadelphia.
I think that gets slept on a little bit just because of the Mahomes and Kelsey and all the winning and all
that. And you said it yesterday about, like, Pat Mahomes was off all the way into the playoffs.
Right.
The defense carried him.
The reason they made the playoffs last year was because of how good that defense was week over week after week. And Chris Jones got better as the season went on, and Trent McDuffie developed into an excellent corner and all that kind of stuff. The thought was, and especially with the way that they played early in that game, week one, the thought was maybe the offense now is there too.
Yes.
And this is going to be a juggernaut. Didn't look like that last week. Now, I know Cincinnati gives them trouble.
Always.
And they're a good team, so it's understandable that they would. But, that defense is the real deal. So, same thing applies for what happened on Monday. You got to establish the run with Bijan and Algier, too. Yep. You got to sprinkle him in there, too. And then everything develops from there. Hopefully more play action and all that like you saw against the Eagles. But we'll do our keys to the game tomorrow, like exactly 24 hours from right now. But coming up next, Joe Patrick's going to join us. He's been up there at Flowery Branch causing trouble but also doing some reporting. So we'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Phone lines will be open at 404-726-0929. You'll be able to ask us anything you want. We'll do our best to answer it as we always do. We'll get to Smoking Joe in just a minute as well.
All right, so we already talked about because a lot of people always ask me, they say, well, where'd y'all come up with the name for Joe? And I said, I don't remember. I said it one time, and I was like, oh, Smoking Joe, and it just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the hell do we get the troublemaker from? I was like, because his exact words was like this. He said, is Joe really about that life? That's exactly what my homie told me. He asked it. He's like, why do y'all call him? I said, I don't know. Just something came up with it. He's like, well, where'd y'all get the troublemaker from? Joe about that life? I was like, hell yeah, man. Joe about that life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said, but y'all always talk about Twitter. I was like, no, Joe smacked the hell out you. In real life, if you get wrong with him.
Exactly right.
You know what I mean? But yesterday, just pettiness of Joe Patrick at this United game. And I loved every bit of it. I mean, because it's just, it embodies the good man. Because Joe's a good man. And we got to say nice thing because his mom listens to him, to us, when he's on. But, Joe, that was just low down.
He's a good man, but don't cross him.
That was low down.
Don't cross him.
The way you did Julian Gressel.
Shots at Julian Gressel.
Shots at
who's
this
also
man.
A good man.
This man did everything for this organization,
gave his
Joe,
heart to the city.
And you just paid him
that's
out of
what Joe
there.
Does. He'll rip your heart out right out of your chest.
That's
what
he
let's
does.
Get Smoking Joe in here.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other quarter, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smoking Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
How are you, Joe?
Yes.
I'm good. I was just trying to give credit to the Atlanta United fans who are giving him an ovation, you know?
What?
I'm like, when I was a kid, I'm the kind of sports fan where when there's like a big draw, you know, if it's Patrick Mahomes or Lionel Messi or whoever it might be, like, I'm the guy who's like booing the heck out of that guy, even if I respect him and he might even be like a player I love or everything. But if it's going against my team, I'm not going to, you know, cheer him on. But anyways, that's just the kind of person I am.
Hey, Joe, everything was great about it until you had, like, the space between it, and you said it.
Yeah. The dramatic space.
I'm with you, though. We do a lot of, like, because this happened with Freddie Freeman when he came back a couple years ago. Like, I get the first
They did it last. They did it last.
Too much.
I know. Like, enough. And I get it. You love him. And I don't know, maybe some of that was about what his family has been going through. I don't know. I just feel like we do a lot of cheering for people that don't play for us anymore.
Yeah.
Now, I understand yesterday was more about Messi. What was that like, by the way? Like, how was that with that crowd and how crazy that must have been?
Definitely an interesting experience, and it really is like he's like a zoo animal. And it's like anytime he's walking around, that you would see fans like rushing down the the stairwells to like get closer to him wherever he was. And when he got up to just start warming up, there was a massive cheer that went up, and everybody gets their phones out, and that's why I say he's like a zoo animal. It's just like everybody's recording him at all times and like posting just random videos of him walking from point A to point B. but it was cool. And I got to say, guys, like for somebody who's been to almost every Atlanta United home game so far this year, it was good to see just energy and juice back in that building. And I will say, while obviously people came out because Messi's there and they want to see him, they want to, you know, tell their kids they saw Messi play in person, it was still a pro Atlanta United crowd.
Right.
And you could tell. And it was just kind of had that juice in the stadium again. And I know even Saba Lobchenidze afterwards was getting interviewed, and he was like, guys, please, we're going to give everything. Please come back. please continue to support us.
Pretend Messi plays for every team. Come back.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, no, it was a fun night overall.
Hey, JP, we just played a clip, and we think it was you that asked the question to Joe Pat. I mean, sorry, I called him Joe Pat. To Kirk Cousins about the whole 100% thing that was reported by Troy Aikman. And basically, he was talking about, as he didn't want to call it last week, the rust that he had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was actually not me who asked that question, but I just want to put that out there. But, I think that there was a big confusion that happened and something got lost in translation. But essentially what he was saying is that he's not 100% and feeling like he's 100% of, like, the quarterback that he could potentially be. But it's not having to do with the physical aspect of it. He said that physically he feels fine. It's just that rust and, like, kind of understanding that he's not really playing at the level where he had been previously, like, I think would be totally understandable for anybody who's missed that duration of time and you're just not in the pocket. And he was talking about also, how Raheem has done a great job in protecting them. But as part of that protection, you're just not totally familiar with what it feels like when you know, the live action is flying around you and you could potentially get hit. I think that that's frankly why a lot of fans wanted these guys to play in preseason so that they had that experience. But again, that's just the choice that Raheem Morris made. And, you know, I think that we're already starting to see, especially after that Eagles game, not only starting to get confident as a fan or observer of the team, you know, regaining confidence in his ability to be under center and do play action, do all the things that's made him a successful quarterback to this point in his career, but also to, you know, just be, he's just becoming a better quarterback overall and knocking off that rust as the season progresses here.
Yeah, I mean, with you guys getting a chance to talk to him just a little bit ago, what specifically did he talk about maybe being easier or better, getting cleaned up from week one to week two?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because Kirk, you know, coming off that win, it's, you know, it's an emotional high, obviously, for the team. And, you know, everybody's juiced up. And I was, you know, just walked out of the locker room today and you could tell the, you know, the mood is upbeat. Guys are happy. It's actually kind of funny. Side quest here. But they were like trying to film guys to get them to sing the Sunday Night Football song. And like Kyle Pitts, for example, I'll call him out. He was a little too shy to do it. He was refusing to do it. Jake Matthews pulled his veteran card, so he didn't have to do it. But it was fun to see that. But Kirk, I think what the what's really encouraging for a lot of fans is he comes out of that game and is like, you know, we got so much to work on. And Zach Robinson was talking about how he was texting him constantly on the flight home, talking about, you know, what he could have been better at and, you know, how he could have been better at this progression and this read and whatnot. One of them was that potential throw to Kyle Pitts in the end zone where he was open, but Kirk wanted to make sure that they were able to get the field goal out of that situation. But a lot of things that he's just kind of hard on himself, even though I think that we're all seeing a lot of progress. I'm sure he's feeling it as well and seeing it as well. I think everybody can kind of just see how much better that offense was flowing on Monday night.
Joe, look, coming into this week, we talked about the progression of the offense and everything like that. I think this is a better defense they're playing this weekend than they played on Monday night. What do you think they can progress off of or add to that they need that they haven't shown yet so far in 2 weeks?
Oh man, I mean, like it's tough, but I think that one area that you could really see improve or progress or whatever is just getting Kyle Pitts involved even more in this offense. I think that we've already started to see in these first couple games, the Darnell Mooneys and the Ray McLeods really, you know, getting fed, not because it's like an intention to feed them specifically, but Kirk has talked about this. He goes through his progressions and he lets the progression tell him, you know, where to go with the football. He's not really thinking about it that much, but I think that against this Kansas City defense, utilizing Kyle Pitts and getting him on those kinds of catches, like for example, that he had on that first pass that he caught on that game winning drive, where it's a pretty, you know, like relatively easy kind of pitch and catch, route and completion for him. I think that if you can start like making teams respect that threat, and I think the teams have respected it so far, but I think that there's more that this team can do in that respect. And if you get them kind of, you know, jumping or kind of keying in on Kyle, then I think you can really open up a lot more of this offense. And if they're not, if they are, you know, kind of covering everyone, that's when you should be able to feed Kyle and really get him going in the offense. And so I think that, again, when you look at that game Monday night, it's really encouraging because you saw these different kind of elements of the team start to get going, not him necessarily, but you saw the ground game start to work in a way that they really, you know, need to be successful. And obviously you saw Darnell Mooney kind of get involved. You saw them hit some deep shots. So you are, I think, starting to see this team develop and starting to use more tools that they have at their disposal.
How different do you think I know the difference between winning and losing is huge, but how different do you think just kind of the energy around the team, not just from fans, but inside the building like you've been the last couple of days, is because of that last drive versus maybe if Saquon makes that catch and the game ends like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge, obviously. You know, guys aren't going to come out and say like, oh, if we had lost that game, then we would be down the dumps or whatnot. Cause, you know, they kind of really do approach it like every week is its own routine, its own kind of fresh slate to start from. But I think, you know, just observing these guys, it's a totally different kind of, demeanor, especially in that locker room. And it's not that like to say that, you know, like they were down, they were kind of a little bit more down or more focused, I guess. That's the way I've been describing it, more focused in that week leading up to the Eagles game, and that resulted in a win. And I think that the challenge, and Raheem Morris has talked about this, but the challenge for this team is to get some consistency going. Like, under Arthur Smith, this team was never able to win, you know, string three wins together. I don't think they ever did that during his tenure. And so in order to be able to do that, you got to be able to win a game and then put that behind you. As much as you flush losses, bad losses, you also got to flush the wins too, especially when they bring that emotional high. And I think that that's the big challenge. And I got to say, guys, like, I would love to say, oh yeah, they've definitely flushed it. They're on to the next one. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I want to see this team come out against Kansas City and just, you know, bring that same kind of verve that they had in the Monday Night Football game. And I think they will. I think these guys are just really excited about playing in prime time, to be honest. I think that it just gets guys, you know, competitive juices flowing, and that's what you love to see.
JP, you're around this team and everything, and I think I saw something yesterday said the Falcons are the only team that don't have a rookie playing offense or defense so far this season. And I'm just thinking about, you know, the position, you know, which rookie could contribute. Obviously, on offense, Michael Pittman's not playing. But a role, him not playing, is it more or less he's not ready, or is this defensive tackle rotation, is it too deep for him to get involved, JP?
I think it's a combination of both of those. I think it's like there's not really – I think it's actually like Raheem Morris, I don't think feels any pressure to play him. Okay. And it's probably a good thing that he doesn't like feel pressure from the GM to like play the rookie if he doesn't think that he's ready or he thinks he has better options. And I think that if you were to ask, you know, Raheem, it, like, for example, who do you want to put in a game, like, you know, in a snap decision, Kentavious Street or Rukurorō? Probably Kentavious Street. He's a veteran who's been around this league. Frankly, his body is built out better to withstand and be able to hold up at the point of attack in some of these situations. So part of that is down to Rook's, you know, has to continue to develop, and Brandon Dorlus and some of these other guys have to develop their bodies so that they are better able to, you know, execute what the coaches need of them. And then also you've got those other guys. So I think it's a combination of both of those things. But I think that it's actually a good thing that there's a kind of a comfortability, at least from the coaching staff, where they feel like they don't have to throw these guys into the fire. And it won't be, you know, there's a matter of time. These guys, it's a tough league. These guys get hurt and get in the inside, and you know, they'll find their opportunities over the course of the season, I'm sure. And then the other thing, Randy, about this situation is that when you go back to the draft in April, where they obviously loaded up at this defensive line position, you know, at that point, they probably didn't know exactly what condition Grady Jarrett was going to come back from his injury when you're in April. It's easy to say, and now we're in, you know, what, August and September, he's looking great, and, you know, he's just kind of keeping guys off the field. But I think there was probably a little bit more uncertainty as to what that position group was going to be looking like at that point in time when they had to make those picks.
What about the injury report in general? I know it's Wednesday. Things can change. Things can get better. Things can get worse. But where are they at injury-wise as of right now?
Yeah, pretty clean. I mean, there's not a few guys were limited yesterday, but it seems like they're all on track to play. Antonio Hamilton is coming back from his injury as well that's kept him out. Obviously, you know, they still are going to be without Nate Landman, who's on IR, and that's a tough loss for this team. I will say I kind of suspect that he's going to be coming back kind of like right after the 4 weeks is over, as opposed to it being some longer-term thing. I know Troy Andersen yesterday just said, like, you know, in a couple weeks we'll have him back, which, you know, who knows, maybe he was just kind of speaking off the cuff. But also the fact that they put him on IR like right before the game was about to start, I think kind of signals that they wanted to just kind of go ahead and knock that week out on IR so he can kind of get a head start on it, and hopefully he'll be back. But other than that, yeah, it's been pretty healthy. I was a little bit worried about Tyler Allgeier because it looked like you could see in that Eagles game he was dealing with something, and he was limited yesterday with what they say is a hip. And I kind of expect him to be limited again today just as a running back. No reason to kind of put him under any undue burden. But I think this team is going to be relatively healthy. And, you know, frankly, as far as Landman goes, you're probably not going to play him a ton anyway against this Chiefs team who winds up in 11 personnel so much and spreads things out against you.
All right, JP, you're going to be in the house, right? Don't If there's one laying around, JP, I don't need you to go snatching nobody's. Could you grab us a couple of those Arthur Blank cups?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll definitely do that. Actually, they're here today at the facility. Yeah, we actually have hot dogs and chips and the souvenir cups here. So I'll make sure to grab you one.
Oh, you get
and by the way, Randy,
peek?
My parents were also asking where the Smoke and Joe thing came from. I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. I remember we just had you on. And we started doing it during COVID. We used to have you on.
Yeah.
And I was like, Smoke and Joe.
All the drugs that you do, I thought.
Last time I saw Joe, out one night.
Yeah.
Joe had Newport behind his ear.
Oh, that's a funny visual.
All right, JP.
That's a funny visual. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Smoking Joe Patrick every single Thursday at this time. Hey, quick reminder that at Salomon Brothers Jewelers right now, Percentage Week is back, and it's 1 week only, September 16th through 22nd. Save up to 60% off everything in the showroom. Visit them online at SolomonBrothers.com. Time for the AMA. Time for you to call us, 404-726-0929. Any question, any topic. We'll wrap the show up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and RightFromTheHeart.org. AMA to wrap the show up every day. A couple phone lines open if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Mo in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Fellas, hey, quick early happy birthday to Andy and Kayson. Well,
thank you.
Be able to get in. Y'all was talking about, y'all said something about having that turbo bull. Randy did. Hey, so Randy, everybody don't know about the turbo bull, and they don't realize put the water on, put it on turbo bull, and like a minute later, the water's boiling.
Yeah.
So it was the last time somebody messed up and turned that turbo bull on and burnt something at your house.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and to Andy, what's the one song that come on at your birthday party and you're going to know how old you are?
Ha! That's great. Yeah, turbo boil sounds dangerous.
I'll see your picture
if you're cooking.
I'll see your picture of it.
Yeah, water, great.
Yeah, I'll see your picture.
Don't put eggs on there.
No, because I did that yesterday, and I was paying attention, but I was so damn hungry yesterday because I didn't make dinner. We had so much stuff going on, so I was going to make breakfast for dinner and put the eggs in and didn't turn it with one more click. And so I came over, and that damn them eggs, it didn't burn them, but they were cooked real fast.
You'll know how old we are because as the night goes on and, you know, the drinks flow more, some of my buddies are coming, my brothers would be there and all that. And when somebody puts on Mac Dre, like the Hyphy or the Thizzle Dance or Get Stupid, and a bunch of 40-year-old dudes start trying to do the Thizzle Dance
and hurt their knees. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
I can't wait for
Because obviously that song's from like 2004 anyway.
Yes.
So it's not like anybody's listening to it. Although Marshawn had it on in Cuba. He was teaching people how to do the Thizzle Dance in Cuba.
I loved it.
Which
I saw
awesome.
That. That was so damn cool, man. Watching Marshawn do that over there. Because they were trying to do all the little, they were trying to do all the Hispanic, the Cuban dance.
They were trying to make a salsa Thizzle Dance? Why not?
Damn, Marshawn came. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but when that goes on and like my buddy Sam blows his knee out trying to do that, then you'll know how old we are. Elijah is in Adairsville. Hey, Elijah.
What's up, boys?
Hello.
So, Randy, you probably got this ingrained in your brain because you're a Gen Xer, but the young buck over here, Andy, probably don't have it ingrained in his brain. Do you remember the Marble Man and all those commercials and whatnot?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you got
Smokin'
Joe.
The Marble Man was one of the coolest dudes ever.
Yeah, well, you got Smokin' Joe from the Camel because the Camel was named Joe and he was smoking.
Get out of here.
Oh, that's true.
Really?
That's true.
In the
Joe
back
Camel.
Of your
that is
mind,
true.
Man,
that is
it's
true.
Joe Camel. Smokin' Joe Camel.
So that subliminal messaging.
That is damn true.
The subliminal messaging from Camel cigarettes.
Yeah.
All these years later,
that
still
is
working.
So true. That's so true, man. There it is right
there.
There
you go.
Yeah, man.
The good old days
good
when they could
days.
Market
Camel
cigarettes
also
to us.
Used to have a like a nudie picture on there, too.
Yes, it
yeah,
did.
Oh, yeah. They did all kinds of
the
stuff.
Like the Marlboro Man, the Paper Towel Man. Like, them were some cool cats, man.
Well, he's still around.
I know, but I'm saying, like, he was a cool cat, but we couldn't afford Brownie.
I was the Brownie Man for Halloween 1 year. I just put a flannel shirt on and had some paper towels.
Dude.
It was the easiest thing ever.
She has to be stopped.
Who?
My wife.
Why?
I came home yesterday, and my damn puppy had on a damn cowboy suit.
Oh.
A cowboy hat with the outlaw brown cowboy jacket.
Like pre-Halloween?
Yeah.
He was okay with this?
No, I was not okay with that.
No, the dog.
He don't know no damn better. He just had somebody pat him.
It's September.
But he's gonna be too damn big.
Too early.
He's gonna grow out of that.
Lily wore a Halloween dress to school today. I'm telling you, man, like my wife just is so ready for it to be fall. She just pretends it is. You know what I mean?
I already know.
She was getting pumpkin spice in August and all that. We got pumpkin candles in the house. It's like it's 87 degrees outside right now. You know what I mean? You don't need to wear flannel. It looks nice, but I don't know you need it yet. Tim is in Smyrna. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hello,
Tim. I have a question, but I thought that you would have got Smokin' Joe from Smokin' Joe Frazier, the boxer.
That's what I thought originally when I started calling him that. But I didn't
But my question is I do like a good souvenir cup, and I'm looking forward to getting the hot dog and souvenir cup this Sunday at the Falcons game, but I don't personally like, and I want to get the feedback on the new souvenir cup that Braves Stadium and State Farm is doing with the metal one. Souvenir cup. Mm. It tastes funny. Like, I just don't think it's as good as a plastic or a wax cup. Hmm. I want to get your feedback. All right, guys.
I'm with you, though. I don't like those cups because they look like paper cups.
Yeah.
I mean, like the red Solo cups. Like Solo cups. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a big fan of them. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely correct. Your sip don't go down right. Cause I know we'd be in a tourist club because those are glass cups they give us in the tourist club.
True.
That sip don't go right.
Interesting.
Yeah, the sip don't go down right.
I didn't know they were supposed to be souvenir cups. Like I thought you were supposed to recycle them or something. I didn't know you were supposed to keep that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never kept one.
I didn't know that it was a souvenir cup. I've thrown them all. No.
I do.
No. We have a lot of cups.
You want some? You take any?
I don't ever take nothing, Bo.
No.
I thought you were supposed to throw it away.
Those are the exact glasses or cups they use the Masters. That's why they are that way.
Oh.
Because our execs down there wanted those cups to look like the Masters cups.
Interesting.
Cup. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the drinks are fine. You and Sammy, them drinks are fine. But yeah, the sip don't go right. I'm going to say Robbie. Yeah.
What's the difference?
The sip don't go right, man. It's just one thing.
I heard what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. The sip don't go right, man.
All right.
The sip don't go right.
Okay. Wilson's in Athens. Hey, Wilson.
Wilson!
Hey, guys. Two quick questions. So between baseball, basketball, and football, what are your favorite and least favorite ones to watch in the stadium? And y'all think either of y'all could do the 999 challenge? 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, and 9 innings.
Hell no. I can do the beers.
Yeah, I could do the beers.
I could do the beers, the hot dogs.
I don't want to eat 9 hot dogs.
I don't think I really do.
But I could drink 9 beers in a 9-inning game.
I could do 9 and 4. I damn near did it anyways. We had the truth of that. Damn near did 9 and 4.
Favorite to watch in person?
I'm trying to think.
I love going to a baseball game.
Right.
Going to a baseball game, I think, is better than watching a baseball game on TV. I'll be honest with you. I think watching football on TV is better. Watching on TV is better.
I would much rather watch football games at home. I love going to basketball games.
Yeah, I like going to basketball games too.
I like going to only way I like going to baseball games, no lie, is when I get spoiled by Bo.
Fair.
Okay, other than that, I don't want to go to no baseball game.
If
I ain't sitting there, Bunk, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Randy out there knocking knees with someone in the 300 level. No shot.
Hey, I'm spoiled as hell. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, dog. I'm sorry. Bo, I'm like Bo's IG model when he say I got some Truist Club tickets. Okay. Like what Puffy said, what Puffy called me, Daddy. I ain't going to call Bo Daddy, but
I almost thought you were going to.
No, I ain't going to call him Daddy.
Like, wow.
I ain't going to call him Daddy or nothing. But I'd be like real, yeah.
Do you have an Amazon wish list or something?
You know what I'm saying, Bo? You want me to get you some tires?
I love going to Hawks games.
Yeah.
Being in the building for Hawks games is super
fun.
That's
another thing. Like, again, that's what I'm talking about when you're spoiled. Like, I don't want to go to no regular Hawks game.
Yeah.
I got to sit down there with Bo at the bar down there. I got to be in the suite.
Well, I guess most of the Hawks games I go to, I'm sitting in the broadcaster spot next to Steve. But, it's good. It's good good people watching at the Hawks games. Rock is on the south side. Hey, Rock, final call.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hello, Rock.
Hey, listen. Loving the win that we got in Philly. Looking forward to trouncing and beating down on the Kansas City Chiefs. We ain't scared of them. The one thing that concerns me is our mascot. Isn't there some tougher name that we can come up with for Freddy the Falcon? It just doesn't sound tough. What kind of tough name would you be? I'm not scared of no Freddy. I ain't scared of Freddy. I love Freddy Freeman. I ain't scared of no Freddy.
All right. Tougher name for Freddy Falcon.
I mean,
Frank.
To be fair, the Chiefs mascot's name is KC Wolf.
Ooh.
All right, that's pretty soft.
That'll get after you.
That's pretty soft, too.
That's pretty damn soft. But I mean, a hard F name.
I just Googled F names, all right? These are not, I'm not suggesting these.
Okay, all right.
Fabian?
Fabian the Falcon? Hell
no. That's worse. That's worse.
Felix?
Felix the Falcon.
Fredo.
Fredo the Falcon. No, that was the bad son.
Never mind.
Franklin? Hey.
Hell no.
No, that's Orange
Sun's
name.
Frankie. Okay. But you don't want no damn.
Fernando?
Fernando. He can be mixed.
Fabrizio.
Yeah, he can be mixed. Fernando. Half Puerto Rican, half brother.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
A Puerto Rican Falcon. There's nothing wrong with that. Ford Falcon. It's like a car. Nah, but it's Mercedes-Benz. Yeah. I can't do that. Maybe just Fred. Is Fred harder than Freddy?
Well, we don't know because we've never seen a baby Fred. So
but he's not a baby. He's a big-ass bird.
Yeah.
What if we expand it the other way and go Frederick?
Then he's a dork, and you put glasses on him. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is here.
I like Fabian.
Falcon?
Yeah, Fabian. Fabian sound like, you know, Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. Fabian.
Does the devil have an F name in any language? Because that's what it would need to be.
The devil?
Yeah. So it's mean and hard. You know?
Like Satan.
If not, Freddy will have to do.
I can't come up with any Satan names on.
Yeah, if there's no Satan names that are start with F, then it'll probably just have to be Freddy.
All right. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
Freddy the Falcon. Is it
our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is, yeah.
It's Freddy IE.
IE, yeah.
Oh, man. We at least got to get a Y.
You are anti-IE.
You know I am. I am so anti. We learned this on Off the Cuff. Andy wants to be a bike guy, and Andy wants to be an ad-libber.
I do wish I could ride my bike to work. I don't have a bike, but I got accused of having one this morning. You got to listen to the podcast. Randy did not enjoy watching Maroon 7 at the Super Bowl at all.
They were so bad. To hell with them 8th grade girls, because they weren't into Randy because he was shout, ugly, and poke.
Oh, man. And,
Andy's daughter is thankful for booty.
Yeah. Oh,
man, it's true.
Yeah, it takes a while to become a general, but that's all right. There have been several booties, lots of booties.
Yeah, man.
Many booties.
He's still around.
Who's your favorite booty? General?
I don't say general. I don't like him.
I don't know anything about him, really. John David?
My favorite booty is Rocket Everywhere.